Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
Right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, WVFF 97.7, Understanding the Bible. We're about a third of the way through Joshua today, and if you've been with us on 97.7, on WVFFradio.com. All the old past episodes are there from the beginning to the end. So where we're at right now is a lot of stuff in there you've never heard in church. I can guarantee you that. But it's all right here in black and white, and I prove it as we go. Children of Israel have come out of Egypt. And a lot of problems. They doubt God all the time. So God has abandoned his first covenant he gave to Abraham, which was not the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments came later, part of the law, because they children just could not obey the first covenant, which was simply, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. One is the spiritual man being in control. The other is the flesh, an outwardly sign in the flesh that you're following God. But, of course, the children of Israel could not do it. So God says, all right, I'm going to pile this binding law on you. And you're going to one day wish the simplicity of follow me with all your heart were still available. And it actually is, because Christ came and reset things right back the way God originally had them. Follow me with all your heart and get baptized. One is a spiritual condition, the other is an outwardly expression in the world. So the law, as binding and horrible as it is, it only ends in death and separation from God. So if you continue to follow it, there is no redemption into God's kingdom. You must only find that with your heart. It's a reoccurring theme in this Bible, the heart of man. God says, I place the spirit man in the heart. The Bible also says that the mind of man is contrary to God and the flesh is an abomination. So the spirit man is placed into this body for one purpose, to gain control of the mind and subjugate the flesh and follow God. It's that simple. And if you catch version one, you'll find out why the human being is so conflicted. There are two lines, the two blood lines on the earth, the seed of the serpent and the seed of Adam through Seth. And I tell you to go to version one. It's a long, drawn-out process, and there's a lot more there than just an eating of an apple. There was seduction. There were two children in Eve's womb with two different fathers. And it's right there in black and white, believe it or not. But I'll prove it to you if you go to version one. Plus, there were two creations of mankind. And it's right there, Genesis 1 and 2. God created man, male, and female on the sixth day. On the seventh day, he rested. Later on, he said, there's no man to till the garden. And then he created Adam. Created them, male and female, and called their name. You got to look at every word in this book. It called their name Adam. And then Adam lived for maybe hundreds of years in the garden. That specified time period is unknown. But the entire time he was in the garden, the other two were replenishing the earth. Look at every word. The old King James Version. That's the most accurate English Bible that there is. Although it has mistakes in it also. You have to go back to the Hebrew if you want perfection. And oh, Pastor Dave, the Bible's perfect. No, I can show you. I can show you misprints in this book. I can show you two stories in the book of 2 Samuel that contradict each other. It's not because God's word is imperfect. It's because the English translation is not perfect. God put the essence of what's in this book is perfect. Some of the translation is not. That's why you have to look at every word. Sometimes you have to take it back to the Hebrew. You have to read it over and over. methodically go to Genesis, catch our first version of Between the Lines, and you will see, and I will prove it to you, there's a lot of things that you weren't told in church because religion does not want to accept the facts. But we're here now, the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt. God has put the binding law on them. Moses argued with God for years about, why, Lord, did you put me in charge of these people? God even called them his people at certain times because God didn't even want to claim them. And then Moses convinced him, yes, you did create them, and they are actually yours, but why'd you put me in charge of them, okay? So after years and years of being weary, Moses, in his weariness, disobeyed God. God said, talk to the rock and it will bring forth water. And Moses struck it and said, I give you water. And God says, all right, so you're not going in. I'll let you see it, but you're not going. So because of the doubt, they circled in the wilderness for 40 years. God says, go in and claim the land. They said, oh, we sent 12 spies in. 10 of them came back, said, oh, we can't do it. The other two said, we can do it. Well, the 10 won out. All the rest of the 2.5 million people estimated at that time. They said, oh, woe is us. God has brought us out here to kill us. We can't do it. So God says, I'm going to wipe them all out. Moses says, no, please, God, no, please. God says, okay, well, wander around the wilderness. I'm giving you the really quick clip notes here. Wander around the wilderness for 40 years until all the men die from age 20 on up that doubted me. Okay, so we're here. They just crossed over the river yesterday in the episode we did yesterday. They just crossed over the river. God said many, many times, do not make a covenant with any of these people and make sure they're all removed from the land, either by the sword or they're running away. Okay? Not a single one of them are left. And things will be good with you.
Even their possessions.
Even in some cases where the land was that evil and that much blood had been shed, even the possessions were to be burned. But immediately the children of Israel begin to disobey God as they have for the last 40 years in the wilderness. So here we are, chapter 9, book of Joshua. Just that one little more tidbit of information. When Moses was relieved of command, God put Joshua in charge. And I'm sure Moses had a big sigh of relief right before he died.
Yes.
Joshua probably said, what's wrong, Moses?
Nothing.
Nothing, buddy. You got it.
Yeah.
Here, take these sergeant stripes.
Yeah.
Put them on your arm.
This is your day.
Chapter 9. It came to pass when all the king, which were on this side of Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys, and all the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, and Hittite, and the Amorite, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord. It's okay. They done took down Jericho without a shot fired. Mm-hmm. They marched around it 7 times and the walls fell down. Then they went in and killed everybody. And then when they went to that little town called Ai, and things looked better there, the Aiians ran them off. Mm-hmm. But they came back and they wiped them out. And if you read between the lines there, I don't know if we mentioned it in yesterday's episode, God didn't tell them to go to Ai. They come up with that on themselves. Let's just send 3,000 guys up there. Not the whole army. You know, there was no commandment. God said, go to Jericho.
Right.
God said, go here, go there. Well, they come back, Jericho said, yeah, let's do Ai now.
Yeah.
And it didn't go so good.
Hitch a little wind in their sails.
Didn't go so good. Plus, there was corruption in the camp. Achan, whatever his name was, stole a Babylonish robe.
Yeah, nice coat.
Yeah, big old fancy striped jacket and a big wedge of gold and some silver. Hid it right in his camp, and his whole family knew about it. And God had said, every one of you is responsible for everyone else. If you see corruption and disobedience in the camp, you must call it out. So the whole family was stoned and burned. So here we are now. The rest of the land says, hey, we got to end this right now. We got to all pull together, one big army, and just wipe these Israelis out. Verse 2, that they would gather themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel in one accord. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and Ai, they did work wily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses, and wine bottles old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. So they're putting together a big ruse. I mean, their town's just a few miles from where the Israelis are now. But they come up with this big plan. Let's make it look like we've traveled 150 miles to get here. And they went to Joshua unto the camp of Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us. Now God had said, do not make any treaties with these people. Don't get any agreements with them. They all got to go. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure, ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence ye come? They said unto him, from a very far country. Thy servants come because the name of the Lord thy God. He didn't tell them that they circled the mountain 16 times to get their donkeys and their camels tired and sweaty.
Yeah. To make that distance.
Yeah. And all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites, and were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all of our inhabitants of our country spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey, and go to meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, therefore now make ye a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provisions out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you. But now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. What an amazing ruse.
I'm saying.
I mean, these were some intelligent dudes.
Yes. They went the full extent.
They had to be terrified. Uh-huh. And what did God say? He sent his angel out and the terror of them would be in their hearts.
Yes.
I mean, this is some serious thought was put into this whole big story here. Mm-hmm. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new. Behold, they are rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of very long journey. We had just got these from JCPenney the day we left. And look at them. They're rags now.
My toes are poking.
It has been a rough journey to get here. And the men took their victuals and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. Oh. You reckon if they would have asked God, he would have shed some light on what was going on?
Possibly, yes.
Sure, we'll take these gifts that you're bringing us. A little mold, we can scrape it off.
Yeah. There's a good side to that.
Yeah. And Joshua made peace with them and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days after they had made a league with them that they heard that they were their neighbors, and they dwelt among them. And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities in the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Chippereth, Beeroth, and Kirjathjearim. Children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes. I do believe, because of the deception, these princes could have taken their vows back, but they chose to keep their vows, chose to disobey God. Who would you rather do, Jonathan? Disobey God or have a vow to a man that you have to break?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
that's no-brainer.
No-brainer, and it will bring lots of heartache onto these people. But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. And the princes said unto them, Let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them. And Joshua called for them, and he spake unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you, when ye dwell among us. Why did you lie to us? Mm-hmm. That seems like a death sentence right there to me. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood and drawers of water for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants how that the Lord thy God commanded his servants Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Therefore we were sore afraid for our lives because of you and have done this thing. And now behold, we are in thine hand as it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do it. And so did he unto them and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. You know, interesting, the children of Israel wanted to do right at that moment.
Right.
And the hierarchy, the leadership, did wrong.
And it's usually the vice versa.
It's always the other way around. The leadership is begging God not to kill the children for doing wrong.
Right. And like you said in the beginning of this, they're probably flashing back to that family that had the wedge of gold and the coat and all that. And it's probably still fresh on their mind.
And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day in the place which he should choose. Chapter 10, Book of Joshua, David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible, WVFF 97.7. Now it came to pass when Adonai's decking of Jerusalem had heard about Joshua, had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, that they feared greatly because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai. And all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, and unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Dibri, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So he called on all of his neighbors, and he's mad because that city, he was counting on them to come and fight, has made peace. Therefore the five kings of the Amorites, and the king of Jerusalem, and the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it. And the men of Gibeon sent unto Joshua to the camp of Gilgal, saying, Slack not thy hand from thy servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites that dwell in the mountains are gathered together against us. So Joshua ascended from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. The Lord said unto Joshua, Fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came into them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomforted them before Israel and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon and smote them to Azekah and unto Makkedah. And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them unto Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than they were from the children of Israel, slew them with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said, In the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and that moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? There are several references to the book of Jasher in the Bible. And the book of Remembrance and the book of Jubilees. They are wonderful reading. And they will fill in parts that are just briefly crossed over in this Bible. It will give you such a great understanding of the who the Hebrew was, the power of the Hebrew, and a lot of other fascinating things, a lot of supernatural things. It actually shows the power of God in these books and how his power was used. So, you know, and these books were available in this Bible up until the 1600s. And somebody that knows better than you decided they didn't need to be read.
Yep.
So I tell you, find them. They're very readily available. Find an original. There are people that have written other ones and put that name on them. So get yourself an original and read it. So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about the whole day. And there was no day like that before or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. And Joshua returned and all Israel with him unto the camp to Gilgal. But these five kings fled and hid themselves in a cave at Makeda. It was told Joshua, saying, the five kings are found hid in a cave at Makeda. And Joshua said, roll great stones upon the mouth of the cave and set men by it for to keep them. And stay ye not, but pursue after your enemies and smite the hindmost of them. Suffer them not to enter into their cities, for the Lord your God hath delivered them unto your hand. Let's finish this here today. Came to pass when Joshua and the children of Israel had made an end of slaying them with a very great slaughter, till they were consumed, that the rest which remained of them entered into fenced cities. And all the people returned to the camp of Joshua at Makeda in peace. None moved his tongue against any of the children of Israel. Then said Joshua, open the mouth of the cave and bring out those five kings unto me out of the cave. And they did so and brought forth those five kings unto him out of the cave, and the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, and the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon. And it came to pass, when they brought out those kings unto Joshua, that Joshua called for all the men of Israel and said unto the captains of the men of war, which went with him, come near, put your feet upon the necks of these kings. And they came near and put their feet upon the necks of them. Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and get of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. Interestingly enough, you remember when Christ appeared in this book for the first time, Jonathan?
Mm-hmm.
Melchizedek.
Right.
Priest of the Most High God.
That's right.
King of Salem.
Yeah.
Jerusalem.
Yeah. Jerusalem. Yes, sir.
God has so many covenants with so many different peoples in this book. But something has happened, and that was probably 500 years ago when he appeared to Abraham, right? Mm-hmm. You see, Jerusalem's in somebody else's hands now.
Right. And he's another Tzaddik, which is Tzaddik means venerated priest.
Yeah. So high priest. The covenant God had with those people back then has fallen apart.
Right.
And they become evil. Remember, he said, I'll put you guys in Egypt for 400 years because I'm not done dealing with these people. They haven't quite transgressed yet, but they're almost there.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned.